Scripture reading is Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Amen.
God is God of love and justice. Because He is God of justice, He punishes those who commit sins. If they commit sins and not repent, or if they go back to sinning again, even after repentance, He will punish them strictly. At the time of Jonah, in the Old Testament, he proclaimed repentance to the city of, for the time of Noah, he proclaimed repentance, but when they didn't repent, everybody was punished. Also, Sodom and Gomorrah were punished by fire. So punishments come according to people's sins. Punishments are not given only in the, not only in the life to come, but also in this world. It's not that God is punishing them, giving them hardships himself, but because the enemy devil accuses those who commit sins, God has to allow the enemy devil to bring hardships upon, punishments upon those who commit sin. So does that mean God is a fearful God? If you repent from your heart, God will forgive you and He will give you grace. He is God of love at the same time. He created human beings with so much care, but He wouldn't want to see the people suffering in the fire of hell. So He wants to lead even one soul, even one more soul to heaven, and He gives His grace so that we can repent. The book of Jonah depicts this kind of heart and love of God very well. Jonah 1:2 says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, this great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." God doesn't punish us right after we commit sins. He waits for us. He gives us realization, and when we realize it and repent, He forgives us. He is just waiting for us to repent, and if we keep on committing sins, and when it reaches the limit, God will have to punish us. But even when He has to punish us, He sends His man of God so that we can turn from sins. He gives us the chance until the end. We can see this from the example of the city of Nineveh. But Jonah, when he received the word of God, he didn't want to proclaim repentance in the city of Nineveh because Nineveh was an enemy state of Israel. It was the capital city of Assyria. So he didn't want to go there and proclaim repentance, but God wanted to give them a chance. Long story short, finally, eventually Jonah proclaimed repentance and they came to repentance. Jonah 3:4 says, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." He proclaimed a stern, strict punishment of God. And something amazing happened to the people of Nineveh. They listened to the word of God and they proclaimed fasting. And they began to repent in sackcloth. And the news spread to the palace. Jonah 3:6 says, "When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he proclaimed the fasting, even to stop drinking water. And he said in Jonah 3:8, "And let man call on God earnestly that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands." So this is how one should be repenting thoroughly. You have to try hard. Please pray hard and try hard before God to bring down forgiveness. And they have to do away with the violence which is in his hands. So it means you must stop sinning. So these people of Nineveh, they offered true repentance. This is the true kind of repentance that produces the fruit of repentance. So God accepted this repentance, and Jonah 3:10 says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he'd bring upon them, and he did not do it. So if you repent from the heart, even with your deeds, you will depart from sins. So even though God said, I will punish you, I will bring calamity upon you, he will turn from his ways, and he will show compassion and mercy. So when we truly repent, God forgives us. He is God of love. So when we repent truly, he is pleased. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. So he doesn't even remember our past sins. If we thoroughly repent and turn from sins, God doesn't remember the fact that we committed sins. Do you feel that God is God of punishment or God of love and forgiveness? We experienced the God of love who tries to forgive us through the love of the shepherd. We couldn't repent on our own because the sins were so severe, so grave. But the shepherd interceded before God to give us this time of repentance, forgiveness. So we repented and received forgiveness. So when we look back, remember all these things, we can feel that God is God of love and forgiveness rather than fearful God of punishment. But even though we had a lot of chances of forgiveness, without repentance, we cannot be forgiven. We couldn't be forgiven, but through the work of the shepherd, we could be forgiven. But that doesn't mean we can't just keep on committing sins. If God says there is no more forgiveness, there is no more forgiveness. So we have to remember how much efforts the shepherd has to expend to bring forgiveness of God. And we witnessed what he did. So we cannot commit sins again. The shepherd is doing all these things. He cannot waste any more time interceding for the members who keep on committing sins. He has to declare the word of God to all the souls all over the world. So we've received enough chances. We should be thankful. And also we shouldn't just be satisfied with being saved after being forgiven, but we also have to grow up in faith. This is the point. The whole point of delivering this message. So God said there is no more forgiveness. So let us also remember, keep it in mind. 1 John 5:16 talks about the sins leading to death. And it says there's no forgiveness even if you pray about those sins. More specifically, in Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 10, and Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6 says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So such sins, you cannot renew them again to repentance. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 26 to 27 says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. If you willfully commit sins, there's no sacrifice for sins. So we have to keep it in mind and not commit sins leading to death. Matthew 12:31-32 says, therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, he shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, he shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So according to justice, these are sins that cannot be forgiven. Even if you try to repent, you can't repent and you can't be forgiven. So you know there are grave sins. And you know it's sins leading to death, and you try to repent. But because of such a thick wall of sin before God, you cannot receive the spirit of repentance. And no matter how much you pray, you can't receive forgiveness. So even though you attend worship service and pray, the Bible clearly says if you commit these sins, you can't be forgiven. But that doesn't mean you can't just depart God. So even if you cling to God again and again, you can't receive the assurance of salvation. That is why you can just come to church. That's why you could only feel afflicted in your heart. And the shepherd felt very sorry about this situation. He was sad and he interceded before God. Not just with prayers, but he repented. Actually, on our behalf, he spent a lot of money offering to God, giving to God peace offering. That's how the chances were given on December 25th, 2010, and also the suspension period in 2013. So he was interceding for us, filling up the measure of justice. What does it mean by filling up the measure of justice? If you commit sins, you'll suffer from hardships, diseases, calamities, disasters as retribution on this earth. If you commit sins leading to death, and if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they are grave sins. And because they are grave sins, you are forsaken by God and you have to face a lot of troubles. But the shepherd received the retribution on our behalf. He received the diseases, calamities, so that we could be free of all those things, disasters, diseases. So that is why he had to suffer physically as well. In the Bible, David, who was loved by God so much, when he committed a sin, we know what kind of a harsh trial he had to go through. If we are to receive such a retribution, just the ordinary members, they wouldn't be able to stay. They will give up. So if they are to receive such with their own effort, they couldn't be. It'd be so hard for them to endure if they are to receive the retribution for their own sins. But the shepherd has received the retribution on our behalf, so we can just repent without having to face the retribution. Job, in case of Job, we know very well what kind of trials he had to go through. Reveal his evil deep in his nature. It was not because he committed any sin leading to death, but to reveal the evil in the nature and get rid of it, he had to go through such harsh trials. But for us, without having to go through all those things, just through the tears of the shepherd and the measure of faith filled up by the shepherd for the last 7 years, we are changing very quickly. It's not only about sins leading to death that the shepherd filled up the measure of justice on our behalf. It wasn't just about the repentance, but it was also the grace that we could get rid of our sins and go on to a better heavenly dwelling place. So he received all the retributions on our behalf, and also he filled up the measure of justice and trials that we had to go through to, for us to become sanctified. You didn't commit sins leading to death, and you cannot say those chances of forgiveness don't apply to you. The shepherd filled up the 99% of the justice, measure of justice, so you could become sanctified. So it wasn't only about forgiveness, it was also about our sanctification. So he opened the way for us. He paved the highway for us. So because he filled up those the measure of justice, or there is this grace of forgiveness and sanctification. Or he gave us the grace so that we can repent of the sins leading to death. Actually, he has given us many chances. So why do I explain this again? We receive these chances of repentance through such hard work of the shepherd, and God doesn't want to waste it as just a chance of salvation. The shepherd filled up the measure of justice for the past 7 years. I'm not saying this because there are so many people who are not forgiven yet, or some more new people have committed sins leading to death again. It's not because of that, but through those 7 years of filling up the measure of justice, we received the grace to go into spirit. But some people, they just are forgiven and that's it. Some people, they are forgiven, and they try to go into the rock, and they feel it so hard. But some people, some others, still others, they try hard, and they pass the rock of faith, and they go into spirit. So where are these differences coming from? Some people, I'm saying all this because there are some people who are remaining after the way they are after they are being forgiven, and they are not really trying to become sanctified, or they, even though they try, they can't, they are not being sanctified. After being forgiven of all, there are some people after who are becoming sanctified after being forgiven. So there are these differences. God wants us to march toward New Jerusalem as quickly as possible, not just being forgiven and receiving salvation. Some people are suffering because they committed sins leading to death, and through the chances of repentance, they repented thoroughly. And they are now changed, and they went in onto the rock and into spirit. But some others, they repented. They were forgiven. So they can be saved. But their growth in faith is slow, and compared to their prayers and effort, they don't have so much fruit in changing. So these two cases, they were forgiven the same. One case, they repented and they cut off the other sins as well, and they got rid of other evil as well, and so they went to spirit. But the other case, they committed sins leading to death and they were forgiven. So they were saved. So they don't commit sins again. But and they are trying hard to be changed. But compared to their efforts and prayers, the result is a lot less compared to their efforts. And this is the reason for that God is giving to you. So why is it that you repented and you are trying hard, but you don't keep the joy and fullness for a long time? It's because you didn't completely repent. The shepherd clung to God and prayed to God and gave us the chances of repentance, and you repented. You thought you thoroughly repented with tears and runny nose. And you received intercession, interceding prayers many times. Also in personal meetings, group meetings, you received those prayers. And you had the joy of forgiveness. You are thankful. You even shed tears. But after some time, you see that such joy wouldn't last longer. It wouldn't last very long. And there's no really answers to your prayers. If there's no wall of sin, you have to receive answers to whatever you ask in prayer. That doesn't mean you are committing sins leading to death again. So you were forgiven and you were brought back to the salvation. But because you didn't completely, thoroughly repent, you still have this problem. In the past, you committed sins leading to death. Sometimes you willfully committed sins, grave sins, and made a great wall of sin. But through the intercession of the shepherd, you received a chance of repentance and you repented. And through those chances, you are forgiven. That is the minimum to be saved. But if that is it, you also have to get rid of evil natures that caused you to commit sins. And also you have to completely repent of the sins that you committed so that you can go on, you can grow in your faith. But other than other sins, about this grave sin that you committed, suppose the weight of this sin is 100. You know that the weight of each sin is different. Just stealing and murder are different. The weight of the sin is different. It's the same before God. Sins leading to death, it is such a heavy sin, such grave sin. So let's say the weight is 100. But you feel the weight about that sin only 10 or 5. Then it means you are forgiven only 5 or 10%. Even if you are forgiven and you are saved, you can be saved because you didn't try hard enough. You didn't repent thoroughly enough so that God cannot really say your sins are completely forgiven. So it means there is some part of the wall of sin that is remaining. So what is true repentance? You have to rend your heart and acknowledge your sin thoroughly. Joel 2:13 says, "And rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil." If you just, your repentance shouldn't be just a formality. You have to really thoroughly feel that you did something really wrong in your heart. If you hear about sins, you know you did wrong. But how much do you feel it in the heart? It's all different from person to person. Let me give you some examples. Suppose you are trying to discipline your children. You say it's very wrong. You said it. You taught them 1, 2, 3 times, and they keep on doing it. And you say, "I'll give you corporal punishment. I will give you 10 rods. I'll hit you 10 times with a rod the next time." Then the child is caught, and the child now asks for forgiveness. "Mom, I did wrong." It is repentance. It's not because this child is feeling that she did wrong, but she's just afraid of being hit with a rod. That is why she's holding on to the skirt of the mom and asking for forgiveness. So you have to see this difference. So you can feel whether they are really feeling sorry from the bottom of their heart or they are just trying to avoid a punishment. But of course, if the children cling to their mom this way, probably they will feel compassionate and not hit them, actually. But if once they grow up and if they become teenagers, then you cannot hit them or anything now. So you know that it is sins leading to death before God. you committed evident sins. So you know it's sins leading to death, because it is clearly explained. So you are given the time of repentance. So you say, I will never do it again. And you repented. But sometimes in the past, you repeated those sins. You repeated repenting. But then you also feel that you did wrong. But you can check yourself. You know about yourself. You know what you did. Whether it was a truly true repentance coming out from the bottom of your heart, or that you were just afraid of punishment and you just repented because you were told you had to repent. The parents might teach their children not to fight among the siblings, their own brothers and sisters. And the mom said, I will hit you with a rod next time. And then they were fighting and the mom saw it. The younger one said, oh, he says, oh, mom, I'll do it again. But it's just not to get, it's just to avoid being hit. But if he really understands why the brothers have to love each other, why the parents are telling them not to fight with each other, if they really truly understand it, it'll be a different kind of repentance. So you also have to have that kind of feeling. Depending on what kind of feeling you had when you were repenting, it can be complete repentance, or it could be just a forgiveness just to be able to receive salvation. You say you acknowledge the sin, your sin, but the magnitude of repentance is all different. Let us think about judging the, condemning the shepherd. You know, it's grave sin. So I committed such a grave sin. Oh, Father, you repent. Oh, please forgive me. But you really feel, also, you might really feel deep in the heart. He only teaches the goodness, the truth, and he performs with such amazing power of God. There's no other place where you can find this kind of a power of God. And he is a righteous man of God. He is such a beloved servant of God. God shows his power only through such a beloved servant. And what kind of person am I that I passed judgment and condemnation on him? So you really feel deep in your heart and you feel really sorry and really embarrassed. And knowing just it in your head that you committed sin and repenting, they are different. Suppose you committed fornication between man and woman. This is a clear sin leading to death. So you try to repent. Oh, I did wrong. But at one corner of your heart, you feel, oh, secular, the worldly unbelievers, they commit even more grave sins. Then you cannot really be forgiven completely. But you thoroughly repent. Oh, I'm a saved child of God, and how can I use my body like a harlot? How can I play a harlot? And you really feel sorry before God, and you try to watch your own actions and words. You control yourself. Then God can easily say, you're completely forgiven. So it is how to make use of the way that God, the shepherd has paved. But if you just repent because you have to repent, oh, this is clear sin, evident sin, and oh, I was lonely, I was so, it was so hard, and the other person, he was trying to seduce me, so he was seducing me, so I just gave in. Then you cannot really be forgiven. It's not really to rend your heart. So about your past sins, you repented. But you didn't really rend your heart. You didn't really, you didn't really repent thoroughly. So you have to check yourself. You have to think about what kinds of feelings and heart you had when you are repenting. And also this feeling of guilt. This guilt is not only about sins leading to death. You can have this kind of guilt about any kind of sin. And if you try to cast away any kind of sin with this kind of guilt, you can cast away these sins very quickly. Suppose you don't really like a certain person, even though you don't do anything evil toward that person. And if you think it is not something big, you cannot really cast it away. But you don't really like that person. And you realize that it is hatred. And you feel very sorry. You feel guilt. You have guilt about that. And if you repent thoroughly, and if you pray that you want to cast it away as quickly as possible, if you're sensitive about sins, then you can cast away sins very quickly. Oh, because this is not sins leading to death. And if you disregard it, or even if you repent, you don't really have any hatred against that sin itself. You don't really hate that evil. You don't feel that you really have to cast it away. Then you cannot really cast it away quickly. So that's the difference, whether you can cast sins quickly or not. Especially in 2010 and 2013, and for the past 7 years, the shepherd has filled up so much measure of justice. And even the sins leading to death, they were forgiven. And you didn't even commit sins leading to death, and how come you're not on the rock, and how come you're not in spirit yet? Even things of the flesh, you can't go onto the rock, even if you don't cast them away. Not committing sins leading to death doesn't mean you are on the rock. If you are not casting away sins, you can't be on the rock. You still love the world, and you still have hatred, resentment, and hard feelings, ill feelings, and you have irritation, and you don't cast them away. You don't pray about them. Then how can you be on the rock? And suppose you are praying, and you didn't commit grave sins, and how come you're not on the rock? Oh, I feel hard. I feel afflicted. I don't feel good. I'm not happy. You have love for the world, and you have this. You have to hate the evil, but you don't hate the evil. You just attend worship service. You pray, and you are working for God's kingdom. Without casting away sins. But as long as if you try to cast away sins, you can quickly go onto the rock because you didn't commit sins leading to death. There was a sister who of a young adult's mission who wrote to me. She didn't listen to secular songs even when she was a teenager. And now somehow she began to listen to these secular songs and pop song. And now as she was listening, she had interest in the singer and she began to love the singer. And this is not sin leading to death. So she didn't think, oh, I have to cast it away. She was just spending time that way. But the grace of God came upon her. She began to have nightmares. Very severe nightmares. But there was a person of a spirit and that she suggested she had to quit the secular music. And since then, she quit, and since then she didn't have nightmares. But in her heart, she still had this heart. She had a desire to listen to those music. And one day she began to pick it up again. So she was listening to secular music again, and in the nightmare, the singer appeared and gave her a hard time, and since then, she came to hate this secular music completely. It's a little thing. It's not a sin leading to death. And once and twice, you accept it. And this is the love for the world. And as they do that, and more and more worldly things will come in. And that is why you cannot go onto the rock or into spirit. In 2010 and 2013, the shepherd has expended so much effort so that we can go into we can cut off all these things and go into the rock and into spirit. So if we love the world, it stains us. It makes us filthy. If we cannot feel it, we don't want to cast it away because we like it. So right now, I'm saying that you have to Not just be satisfied with being saved, but you have to try to go into the rock and into spirit. And for that, you have to feel what kind of desires, what kind of heart you have about sins. So how come you're numb to sins? You're not sensitive to sins. You have to feel sorry and embarrassed about sins and cast them away quickly so that all these sins will be completely forgiven and you can be completely pure and holy and you can go into the rock and into spirit. But even after in repenting, how come you are not, it is not true repentance? It's because you are stained by sins deeply. If you commit sins again and again, knowing their sins, you'll become numb to sins. That is why you cannot really repent deep in your heart. You know it is sin, but you don't have so much feeling about sins. There is a senior pastor's message about the root of sin and sanctification. So you can listen to them and realize that you have such deep roots of sin. That is why your change was slow. And you can just keep on trying to change yourself. So when you commit sins knowing their sins, you become numb. Suppose there's a child. He's stealing something from a shop. For the first time, his heart will be pounding. And he'll have to watch, you know, shop owners watching. Or not just the owner, but he will watch for other shoppers. And then finally he had a chance and he picked a kind of a bag of snacks. And then his heart was pounding and the shop owner, he didn't come and nobody, he realizes that nobody noticed it. And then he's relieved. And then he does it again and again. Two times, three times. And if it becomes five times and ten times, then he will he have the same kind of nervousness as in the first time, the second time, third time. He'll be more bold and brave toward sin, about sin. So you understand this, right? If you repeatedly commit sins, and knowing their sins, then you'll become insensitive about sins. So even in the world, there is a heinous criminal. He committed many murders, but he's not sorry. Or they say the society made me. And he's rather proud of himself or something like that. Or sometimes they have abuse children. And when the police in Korea, they do the reenactment of the crime. And while they're reenacting their crime, they're not even ashamed. They don't have any shame. And the people in the same town, they criticize him, saying he doesn't even feel sorry. But what I'm saying is, if sins are piled up, then they don't feel sorry. They are insensitive. They might say they are sorry, but they don't have any feeling, any guilt about the sins they committed, about the crimes they committed. So the same with the sins leading to death and other grave sins. Until they committed sins leading to death, the Holy Spirit groaned so much, and the shepherd was talking about sins with tears, warning us against sins. But we ignored all those advice. And when you still committed sins, it means your conscience became insensitive, hardened. The hardened flesh, if you have hardened flesh, after it is formed,
깨끗한 살에 비해서 뭐 찔리거나 해도 아픈 정도.
There's no pain. 느껴져요. Even if you poke it with a needle.
인하여 또 짓고 짓고 지으면
So if you commit sins again and again, and if you have the thicker wall of sin you have against God, the more insensitive you become about sins. You know there are sins, but you cannot shed tears about it. You cannot rend your heart. When you see the shepherd, you might even shed tears because you can see this love of the shepherd, even though it is not felt from the heart. You shed tears when you see sad movies. But of course, the more evil you become, your tears will dry up. But anyway, now you shed a little bit of tears. That doesn't mean it. That doesn't mean you rendered your heart and completely repented of your sins. We have to check how much guilt we had about our sins and completely and thoroughly repented of our sins. We know there are sins, but our thoughts and minds were stained by sins and we committed those sins and we were insensitive toward sins. That is why the repentance was not complete. You didn't feel they were so. You know there are sins and you hope that you can be completely forgiven, but you don't really hate the sin so much. You don't really feel that, what kind of person am I that I committed those sins? What kind of person am I that I had committed those sins? Well, had those, that kind of evil. So because you didn't completely repent, it was kind of a formality. It was not complete repentance. So God's word says, you didn't deeply repent. The day special dinner prayer meeting began, senior pastor prayed for us. And when he received the prophetic message, the previous pastors, some of them, for them, they didn't thoroughly repent because they committed sins. They were raised in sins and they are numb. So they didn't thoroughly, deeply repent. So they repented, but their heart is not really refreshed and they are slow to change. That is why they are not on the rock, and even after rock, they are not in spirit yet. So, what do you have to do? That is why the shepherd offered, gave to God peace offerings so we could realize our insensitivity, so that we could really be forgiven completely. These past 7 years, it's not only about forgiving sins leading to death, and then after being forgiven, he's leading us to first, second level, third level of faith, and to the fourth level of faith. Even those who committed sins leading to death. That is why he expended such a great effort. Just for forgiveness of sins, then December 25th, 2010 was enough. And also the suspension period in 2013, that was enough. But it was not only a chance of repentance. Because they committed sins, such sins, they couldn't grow up in faith, grow in faith. So to make them grow in faith, to make them go into spirit, the shepherd expended so much effort for the past 7 years. So now you have to deeply and thoroughly feel that you had such grave sins, such a great evil, and you have to thoroughly repent so that you can uproot, you can pull out the root of evil. But do you just say, as formality, as just as knowledge, you just shed a couple of drops of tears and you just say you repented? That is why during this Lunar New Year, the shepherd had to give peace offerings so that we can become sensitive about sins.
Most of the 회개하고 돌이키고 하나님께 죄 없다 하고 두터웠던 막힌 담에서 구원받을 수 있는 정도까지만 이르렀던 것이 이제는
So through the chance of repentance we were just able to be saved. We came back to the boundary of salvation and now we can receive the grace so that we can cast away sins. This is the grace given during this special Daniel prayer meeting. Because of the special Daniel prayer meeting, this is a grace that we can actually cast away sins. Some people, they say they receive the grace, the fire, every day, every night. And even in the parish prayer meetings, and they received this kind of a fire. So I was reminded of the beginning of the church. During the day, they received the fire of the Holy Spirit. During the night, they received the fire again. So all these sins were being burnt. So this is the grace given by the peace offering of the shepherd given to God. So you have to be sensitive about sins. And for that, you can repent in many angles. Suppose you are pastors or Levites and you committed a sin leading to death. And because of that, you had the wall of sin that could deprive of your salvation. So you are forgiven of that because of the chance of repentance brought down by the shepherd. But that is not deep repentance. As you repent, more grace comes upon you. And you realize what kind of a thing it caused. What it caused. Suppose the people, the sons of Israel, they conquered the city of Jericho. But they couldn't conquer the city of Ai. Such a small city. Much smaller than Jericho. They couldn't conquer it. Many were killed. Joshua was surprised and he asked God what it was about and God explained that there was one person, Achan, who stole from what was supposed to be given to God. He stole something from the city of Jericho and he hid it. And because there was a person who committed a sin, this one person's sin affected the whole people, the whole congregation. And so many people had to be killed in a battle. So pastors and Levites have this kind of responsibility. Their sins might disgrace God. So as you think about it, you shed tears again. I couldn't be saved, but through the intercession of the shepherd, you receive the grace to receive salvation again. And next day when you pray about it, and you realize that through your sins, you blocked the blessing for the church, and you gave such a hard time to the shepherd. And you repent again. The next day, again, you repent. And it means you despised God. And God is watching everything. And you committed sin like as if you were acting, as if God was not watching you when you were committing sins. So you repent. You repent again. Because you despised God. How can a man despise God? So you repent thoroughly. Also, it means you cheated the shepherd and you cheated the church. Not only that, and also you were a hired hand because you are in charge of many members and you couldn't teach them anything because you are committing sins. Because of you, the church members were having a problem. And when a man of spirit, if a pastor was a man of spirit, then they would have been blessed. But I was a sinner and I was being in charge of my parish and that's why God's kingdom couldn't be extended. This way you can repent again. And because you were committing sins, you were lazy and probably you were dozing off in prayers, you didn't have grace in the worship service. But because of one sin, if you really repent thoroughly, you can repent in so many angles, so many different angles, so many different aspects. So you can check whether you really repented, you really rendered your heart. And also the heavier the sin, the more thoroughly you have to repent. I'm talking about the volume of sins. Suppose you bumped into somebody on the street, then you can say, excuse me. It's okay. But suppose you hit somebody while driving, it means you cannot just say, excuse me, and go. So depending on the accident, you also have to make compensations. It's the same before God. In small sins, you can just repent, confess your sins, and not commit the same sin again, and you can be completely forgiven. But in case of big sins, you have to rend your heart for a long time. And also, if you are a leader of the church, then the weight of the sin is heavier than the sin of a layman member. So you have to repent more than a layman member would. If you commit a sin against the shepherd, you have to repent before the shepherd. And also, if you are a leader and the shepherd knows you, and if you committed a sin before God, then you have to confess it before the shepherd too. Sometimes you write to him, but sometimes you, if you write it in order to kind of hide, if the shepherd remembers you, you are a pastor or a leader, and you are loved by the shepherd, you received a lot of love from the shepherd, then your forgiveness was given, brought down by the shepherd. So that is why, for some cases, you have to confess directly before the shepherd. So some people, they repent for several months. They have to repent for several months. But they say, oh, I received the prayer of the intercession, and they stop repenting. You know, their sins are worthy of repentance of several months. They have to try so hard, but they don't do that. Oh, they say, I received the intercession of the shepherd. So, they just stop repenting. Then it means they can be saved. As long as they don't commit the same sin again, they can be saved. But their repentance is not complete. Some people might wonder why I'm talking about sins again. And those moments, December 25th, 2013, it was that God wouldn't accept your repentance. But through the effort of the shepherd, you were given a chance to repent. So now you have to really repent. That is up to you. Chance of repentance was given by the intercession of the shepherd. But now it is up to you how much you repent and how deeply you repent so that you can be forgiven. So even after committing grave sin, if you repented just a little, then you still have remaining repentance to do. Let me give an allegory. Even in the world, if you caused great damage to somebody else, they might sue you. And they might go to the court. Or maybe in a traffic accident. If you caused a lot of damage, you might be sued. You might go to the criminal court. But suppose, so anyway, you caused a lot of damage and you're sued. And according to the law, you are to receive a certain amount of a punishment. But if you come to an agreement with the victim, then it's not about all sins, but in many cases, if you have an agreement and make compensations to the victim, then the amount of punishment on you will be reduced. But the victim says, I will never have an agreement. I will not forgive him. and let him be punished as much as he committed sin. And there is a mediator between the perpetrator and the victim. He knows both parties. And he says, the perpetrator, you, let's say it's you, you want an apology. You want to apologize and you want to make compensations. But the victim has closed his mind and he doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And this mediator goes to the victim and he says, the perpetrator wants to make an apology and wants to make compensation. But the victim, he doesn't want to meet. So the mediator begs him to meet just once. So he finally opened up his mind because of the mediator. And he says, okay, he agreed to meet. But then perpetrator says, oh, I'm sorry. I know you'll forgive me. You know, my tone of speech is a little awkward. It's formality. You don't really feel sorry. You just say, I'm sorry. Then the victim will close his mind again and even more than before. If you did something wrong greatly, some people just try to buy them with money. Then they will say, you're trying to buy me with money? You don't feel sorry at all. Of course, there might be some people who are evil and who want evil victims who want to take as much money as possible. But in most cases, you're the perpetrator and you caused harm to others and you want to just settle the problem as quickly as possible by paying them. Then the victim will not forgive you. So it's the same with God. We couldn't be forgiven before God, but by intercession of the shepherd, now there is a way was opened. But it's up to you whether you can be forgiven or not. Some people, they prepare a lot of things. They really repent and they hate the sins that they committed. So God forgives them and God forgets about everything. So when senior pastor gives us the time of repentance, he always says, if you cannot repent now thoroughly, then you can repent later. So that is why after having a Lunar New Year meetings, you repented later. But that shouldn't be just one day. You have to keep on repenting. If your sin was very grave, or maybe you hid some of your sins and you don't really feel sorry about the sins that you committed, then you cannot be forgiven completely. So you can be saved, but your repentance is not complete. So you shouldn't say, I received their intercession prayer, so that's it, I'm forgiven. God was actually saying that I will not listen to you at all because of your sins. But because of the shepherd, because of the intercession of the shepherd, now God says, I will listen to your repentance. If you really repent, I will forgive you. But you don't feel so much guilt about your sins. So because you are told that you have to repent, you say, oh, please forgive me. You don't really feel sorry. You don't really have the guilt. God was so heartbroken. And you have to comfort the heart of God. But you still doze off in the worship service. You don't really work for God's kingdom. You have a lot of things of flesh. Although you don't commit sins leading to death, you are passing judgment and condemnation. So in the view of God, because of your shepherd, you can be saved now because you are not committing sins leading to death again. But I cannot give you any measure of faith. But God opened the way of repentance. So you rend your heart. Then God is so pleased just by your repentance. And He will say, I will answer to whatever you ask. And you ask for holiness. You ask to produce more fruits. and you will never you'll never commit sins leading to death, and you just want to please God. So God is pleased, and He gives you strength and the help and strength of the Holy Spirit. You can cast away sins, other sins, not just sins related with your past as sin leading to death. So you can be holy. You can become holy day by day. The shepherd gave a peace offering so that we can have this kind of peace with God. Matthew 5:26 says, unless you paid even to the last penny, you will never be able to come out of there. Suppose you committed a weight of 100 weight of sin, and if you felt only 50 units of guilt, then you have to repent of the rest.
중심의 회개를 이루어 하나님 앞에 담대히 설 수 있는 성결함으로 나왔는지 돌아보시기 바랍니다.
So let us check whether you really repented.
중심의 온전한 회개로 드려 죄 없다 인정받는 모든 성도님들이
You're lacking in any part. I hope you will really repent and deeply repent so that you can be at peace with God.
필요한 또 다른 부분은
다음 시간에 There is another aspect that you need for true repentance and I'll deliver it to you in the next session. Let me conclude the message. Through the peace offering of the shepherd, God is pouring down His grace in this special Daniel prayer meeting. And God is also giving you the strength so that you can truly repent. The guilt. You might not have felt it very much, but as you keep on repenting, you feel more about it. And after you changed, you regret as to why you committed such sin. So this sensitivity, the sense about sins have to increase too. Acts 3:19 says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So if you truly repent, deeply repent, it's like indigestion is going away in a moment. You feel like this traffic jam is going away. And once you completely repent, this peace and joy will remain and continue. So that, and along with that, if you cast away sins, you can go into the rock and into spirit as well. So I hope you will receive such a blessing through this special Daniel prayer meeting. And I hope you will receive the strength of God. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. We receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. And for those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest to receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, the Father who loves us. Lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN Internet and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away, light, come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis. Be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of artifacts of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Heavenly Father, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and places of business. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Heavenly Father, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.